So, I'm happy to be here with you all today. First question is whether a translation system is working. Thank you. It's okay? Translation is happening. Works. Functions. Happens. Yes? No? Not plugged in yet. Okay. Now? No. Working. Not enough earphones. Because okay. Yeah. Some people, when they come, they get attached to the earphones. They take them with them. I've been asked by our dear Ananta Prabhu to say something about, let's see, how did he put it? Something about in relation to the marathon that's going on, the preaching marathon, the book distribution marathon, but in the context of community, what we all have a vague sense of being part of community. Spiritual community, yes. Spiritual community is a good thing. It's present in some unclear form sometimes. So I'll just maybe say a few disorganized points because today, as you heard, was a little party, and so it's my day. I can say whatever I want. or actually, what I would like to do, since it's my birthday, what I'd like to do is not speak so much myself, just from one side. But maybe we can have more discussion. Maybe some questions. Maybe we can have it sort of an open session of whatever is on your minds. So we can make it a bit more of what's sometimes called in Sanskrit ishtagoshti, which means a gathering, literally it means a desired gathering, or it means a gathering for praising the Supreme Lord. But I'll start with Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita from chapter 3, verse number 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Verse 20 goes like this. Karma naiva hi saṃsiddhim. Karma naiva hi saṃsiddhim. Astita janakādaya. Astita janakādaya. Loka sangraham evapi. Loka sangraham evapi. Sampashyan kartam arhasi. Sampashyan kartam arhasi. Karmanaiva hi saṃsiddhim. Astita janakādaya. Loka sangraham evapi. Sampashyan kartam arhasi. So this verse is part of a discussion that Krishna is elaborating about karma yoga. And he's leading into a discussion about examples of persons who act in a certain way for the benefit of others. And hold on here. I want to get Srila Prabhupada's translation. Oops. Slow down. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text. We're getting there. 20. Okay, here we go. This is what Krishna says, Srila Prabhupada's translation. Kings, such as Janaka, attained perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work. Okay. I'm not going to read the purport just now because I want to focus on a particular expression, namely loka sangraha. As I said, this is within the topic of karma, talk about the performance of duties and the idea that we have duties and we have to perform them. and we cannot avoid action. This is all drawing from a kind of debate in the tradition about how to become free from karma. And the idea for some people is, well, I'll just stop acting. I won't do anything. I won't create karma because I'm just going to sit in one place and just sit and not do anything. But Krishna says, sorry, that's not possible. Even your sitting and doing nothing is doing something. You're becoming as much implicated by your non-action as by your so-called action. And so this conclusion is coming that we should perform activities, karma, in the spirit of duty. This is what I am supposed to do. Now, when we talk about supposed to or should, then we're in the realm of ethics. We talk about what should be done, what I should do. And we all ask ourselves in the course of our lives many times, in the course of a day, what should I do now? And that should, that sense of should, comes from a sense of obligation. I should do something because I have, there is an expectation from someone. And one of the basic ideas what's called the Dharma Shastra of India, there are many Dharma Shastras. The one we are most familiar with is the Manu Samhita, but there's, I think, 18 major Dharma Shastras, at least theoretically. And the basic issue in all these Dharma Shastras are giving laws. They're sometimes called the law books of human beings. the most basic issue in all of these books is the idea of debt. That as soon as we're born, we are indebted. We have obligations. We have obligations to our parents, to our ancestors. We have obligations to the sages for giving us Vedic knowledge. We have obligations to all living entities for making our well-being, our life livable. And then the question becomes, how do I pay back these obligations? And the answer is by action, karma. But then, on the other side, comes this problem. But if I do action, then there's going to be some implications of my action, because in order to do some action, in order to pay back this debt, I'm getting in trouble over here. I take from, you know, someone over here to get something to give to this person. Now I'm in trouble with that person over there. And so how to balance all of this? This is a big issue in Vedic philosophy, and therefore also in the Gita. And so what Krishna is explaining in this chapter is the way out is by karma yoga, whereby yoga means to make a connection, a significant connection, a meaningful connection with God, with the Supreme Person, with the source of our very being, and also with that person who is, will be explained in a later chapter, the actual enjoyer of anything. Before getting to that point, you could say, of thinking in terms, that's more on the bhakti side. I'm giving for Krishna, or I'm doing for Krishna. On the more karma yoga side is the idea, I have a duty, I have obligations, so how am I going to pay those obligations without getting further implicated, without getting into more trouble with my karma? So the basic solution that's being given in this chapter is you have to perform sacrifice. And sacrifice means giving up something. And then there are so many ways to do sacrifice, and that'll be explained also in later chapters. Krishna's actually very broad-minded. He says you can do all kinds of things as sacrifice. One of them that I find a little amusing, Krishna describes the sacrifice of breath, where you breathe pranayama, basically, but you practice it in such a way that basically you can give up breathing altogether. Sacrifice your breath. No more breathing. Sounds like fun, huh? Thank you. No, thank you. Here, Krishna's saying something very significant with the term loka sangraham. He gives an example of a person, Janaka. Actually, many kings were named Janaka, but we associate it generally with the father of Sita. Sita's father was also named Janaka. So Krishna says, Janaka Adaya, Krishna Adi, beginning with Janaka, there have been so many kings who have acted in the spirit which Krishna is urging all of us to take, and that is for the purpose of loka sangraha. What means loka sangraha? Loka can mean people, and it can also mean planet or realm, a place where many people are. Here I would say it means something like folk in German. You have the word folk, das Volk, the people, yeah, for the people. And sangraha, graha means holding, bringing together, and sam means together, and it means complete. So complete bringing together of the people. In other words, for the purpose of creating community. That's one way of understanding the term loka sangraha. That the king is acting for the community. Of course, that's what all the politicians say, isn't it? Yes, 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 I am acting for the community. If they would actually do it, as they say they're doing, things could be very nice. This would be a very peaceful society. People could be very satisfied. For the most part, they don't really understand these principles deeply, although some idea of it is there. And so we, as a society, who are understanding that the words of Krishna are not just temporary ideas like so many philosophies, but they are enduring truth that we want to live by. We want to have a community which lives by these principles, which pursues deeper understanding of these principles, and which supports each other on the basis of our understanding of the fact that we are eternal spiritual souls, we're not these bodies, and therefore our identities, the external identities are just that. They're external, they're temporary, and we want to go to a deeper level. We want to go to the level of our eternal identity as servants of Krishna. So with that common goal, then, we create community. Or we try to create community. We find that it's not so easy. There are challenges. Why? Because we're all individuals. And we are eternally individuals. And one of the features of individuals is that we have different mentality. We have different way of seeing things. We have also different needs. And then challenges come, how to coordinate all of our different needs. Therefore, leadership is very much emphasized in the next verse. It says, yat yat acharati sheshtas tat tat evitaro jana sa yat pramanam kurute lokas tat anavartate. That however a prominent person, sreshta, is acting, acharati, eva itara jana, others, itara jana, they will act following that example. Sayat pramanam kurute, whatever example the person gives, evidence, literally, this means pramanam. Lokas tat anuvartate, the people will follow the loka, the das Volk. So the idea of loka sangraha, that's a very rich idea, and it's something we can contemplate As we seek to expand the community of devotees, we are sure that we have something valuable, so valuable that we don't want to keep it for ourselves. We want to give it to others, and we want to include others. There's a kind of paradox in that desire at the same time. On the one side, we are a little bit exclusive, because we have certain ways that we want to, that we see as standard human way of living. And most people don't see life that way. Most people in Ljubljana or Zagreb think that our way of life is off the deep end. The regulations that we follow, the restrictions in our activities that we follow, people think, no, that's too much. It's not for me. So we, on the one side, we're quite restrictive. And on the other side, we say, Krishna's for everyone. For all human beings, for all living entities. So no limit to our community. We include everyone, but then again, we are very exclusive. There's a paradox there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is, in a sense, the solution to that paradox. It is, we distribute the fruits of love of God that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu provides. He grows them, and he gives, and we pick, and we distribute. He directs us in that process, and he gives us the energy and the vision that we can do this distribution. I've just been reading, I think last time I may have mentioned also, I'm still reading just a little bit every day, Tamal Krishna Goswami's Servant of the Servant, and I've been reading about the days, the golden days of the Radha Damodar Party. This was a group of devotees in the USA. They started with one full-length bus. You had a bus here for some time. That bus is no more. Buses are difficult to maintain, I know. they had one bus, and they were with the deities, Radha Damodar, traveling around, and they were doing festivals. They were going to university campuses. They would set up a little stage, and they would do bhajan and give lecture and so on. And then gradually it expanded, and they shifted their attention more to the distribution of, first it was Back to Godhead magazine, and then it was Srila Prabhupada's books, including the bigger, the hardbound books. And it expanded eventually from one bus to six buses, and 125 devotees, brahmacharis, and 20 vans. They had 20 smaller vehicles going out from the buses every day. And they were distributing thousands of books. I don't remember the numbers, but thousands of books every week. And the energy that they had, this is what I find so exciting in reading this, the kind of intensity that these devotees sustained week after week, month after month, coming together and then going out to distribute the message that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us through the disciplic succession, especially Srila Prabhupada. So that kind of spirit Well, I must admit, we haven't seen that for a long time. The kind of intensity of that. There are many reasons for that we may give, but I think it's nice to go back to remember that. And so I'm just sharing with you that you may also want to read such book as this. There's a whole new generation. There is a generation after a generation. There are two generations since the time of the Radha Damodar Party, and that was in a whole other continent. This is Europe. This is Slovenia. There are still many people, believe it or not, who have never heard of Krishna. Imagine that. Is that a good thing? Not so good. No. So, I think it's nice to reflect on this. We may not be the ones who go running around in the middle of in the freezing cold, but if we can think, how could I be somehow instrumental in getting this message, this sublime message, to others? If we think, what could I do with all my limitations, my duties, my challenges in life and so on, what could I do to expand, to convey, to be an agent for the, a vehicle for bringing this message to others? Or how could I, when someone gets this message, help that person to better understand the message? In other words, how could I do the business of the community, the essential business of the community, which is Lord Chaitanya's movement, Shishi Panchatattva's mission? How could I do that? Well, I've already talked longer than I intended. I wanted to keep it shorter than that. These are just random thoughts. As I said, maybe there's some question about, doesn't have to be about whatever I've just now said. Any other topic you want to raise, we can maybe consider. Yes, Raso Dadi. Yes. One.
One, and then he's like everywhere.
Yes.
What is your understanding of this?
What's my understanding? My understanding is very esoteric. let me see if I can recover that. Where did I have it? Here. Yes, we, a little earlier today, we were reading from Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja address. He spoke this address to members of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur's mission in Bombay. And this was in 36, but I think actually it was 32. Well, now I'm curious. Oh, it's not there. Okay. In any case, here's the statement that we're talking about. Srila Prabhupada said, "There does not arise any question of discriminating my guru from yours or anyone else's. There is only one guru who appears in an infinity of forms to teach you, me, and all others. An infinity of forms. Shall I read that again? There does not arise any question of discriminating my guru from yours or anyone else's. There is only one guru who appears in an infinity of forms to teach you, me, and all others. Okay, well, first thing I would say is this is one kind of statement about the guru, which if we would look elsewhere in Srila Prabhupada's writings, we would see there are others which, in a sense, give a different perspective. That there, it's not that Srila Prabhupada is saying one guru means it's an impersonal kind of a truth. It's not that there is the guru in some sort of impersonal sense. No, there are so many gurus. Actually, he's saying there are an infinity of gurus, but he's saying one guru in an infinity of forms. It's a little bit subtle, but I would just say it like this, that the guru has one message. And that can be expressed in so many different ways. And it can be discerned, it can be perceived as being given by so many different sources. So in the Bhagavatam, we have the story of this Brahmana. It's in the 11th canto, that he has 24 gurus. But what are these 24 gurus? They're different phenomenon of nature. So he learns from a mountain, he learns from a bee, he learns from an arrow maker, he learns from a prostitute, he learns from many different persons' phenomenon. And he refers to them as gurus. So that's one understanding, that sort of guru can be any source of learning about transcendent truth, transcendent reality. And much of the Bhagavad Gita is about that. The chapter 10 is about recognizing how Krishna is present in the world in so many ways. And so we can take material phenomena, material events, or any sort of event can become a lesson, and we can take it that that is coming from the guru, in the sense that the original guru, and we can, this is leading into this point, guru is one, is, yes, guru is one because Krishna is one, and he is Adi Guru, he is the original guru. Now, what does guru mean? It means one who is teaching and liberating, bringing us from conditioned life to liberated life and ultimately to pure devotion. If the original guru, if Krishna is the original guru, that makes sense because he is the object of the result of the teaching. In other words, he teaches us how to love himself. So he's the best to teach us that because it's him who we learn to love. And then anyone who is taking up role of guru, and here I think the word role is helpful, is acting on behalf of the original guru. And so, as Prabhupada says, the guru who appears in an infinity of forms to teach you, me, and all others. We can say the guru is Krishna. He is appearing for us. We perceive Krishna in our own guru, Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, or Shiksha Gurus. But we can also perceive our guru, the guru, in a word, a comment from anyone, from another Vaishnava, from a Vaishnavi, from a non-Vaishnava. If we are perceptive, if we are sensitive to the message of the guru, then the guru can communicate the message to us in so many different ways. That's my understanding. Yes, Edith, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you for this lecture.
You're welcome.
You mentioned a spiritual community, how to build it up, like Radha Damodara community in the time of Sri Krishna Pranala Goswami. How can we develop this feeling that we want to belong to spiritual community and how to build it up?
How to build up the sense of belonging. Well, I think it starts with understanding that we, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not, we belong to Krishna. And start with that starting point, then we can understand others' needs to feel that they belong. And then we, not worrying so much about, you know, do I belong? Do I feel like I belong? Instead, we can be concerned, do you feel that you belong? We can be more concerned with others' need. And then by concentrating on others' need to belong, then naturally, as a natural byproduct, we will see, yes, I also belong here. This is where I belong. Where else would I be? If I weren't here, where would I be? Of course, we all, and this is kind of what makes our lives sometimes complicated, is we recognize we all have different circles of belonging. We have our families. We have our circles of friends. We may have our circles of colleagues that we work with and so on. And that's life. That's sometimes these may come in conflict with our need to for spiritual belonging. We want to first and foremost be part of Krishna's family, and maybe we don't feel all the reciprocation we think should be there, whatever it may be. Why? Because everybody's preoccupied with their own concerns and so on. So this can be challenging. But if, despite all of that, we say, all right, I belong to Krishna. So essentially my problem is solved from the get-go. I belong to Krishna. And I remember one of our leading devotees, when I was in Amsterdam, he used to say, we should feel that even if everyone else goes away, I will stay here. I will stay with Panchatattva. Maybe everyone else goes. Of course, that's not a happy thought. We want everyone to feel at home. But if for some reason, no, that's the way it is, I will stay. So that, as a basis, I belong to Krishna. I think this is, if we can be clear on this point, then everything else develops out of that principle. And it's all about caring. Community is about about caring. Caring means I may have this or that problem, but I care about others. I care about others' welfare. I do what I can for others. I listen to others. I'm open to others' needs and so on. My needs are secondary, others' needs are primary. But that comes only when one is settled, feeling safe that I belong to Krishna. If that sense of safety and belonging is not there, then one will always feel insecure, disturbed, not peaceful, and therefore not happy. So we all want to be happy, yes? And to be happy, we need to be peaceful, yes? Yes. And to be peaceful, we need to feel that we belong, yes? And who do we belong with? Krishna, yes. Is that okay? It's a big subject. I think much can be said about community development. But a lot of it is just kind of common sense. There's, you know, just a matter of, sometimes we're not very much in tune with basic common sense, which is that we all have many sorts of needs. We all have spiritual needs. We also have social needs. We have physical needs, psychological needs. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this. And just to acknowledge this about ourselves, first of all, and then we can acknowledge it in relation to others. Then we can, you know, interact nicely. And we will like to be with other devotees, and they will like to be with us. And then it's nice. Yes? No? Sometimes. Sometimes we want to be by ourselves, isn't it? I'm like that. And we need our space also. Not that we're, you know, always in Grand Central Station. Sometimes we need our own space. And that's okay too, and that we should also respect others, you know, to have their space. We each need our space. Some need more. I need lots of space. Sometimes. But we have both needs. We need to be separate, and we need to be with others. We need community, and we need a sense of separateness. We need both. It's all part of being human. We are not herd animals. Herd animals like sheep or reindeer. We're not pack animals like dogs and wolves. We are human beings. So we like to be with others, and we like to have our own space. I can't tell whether anyone is thinking, I don't know, what is he talking about? Let's see, it's 5 to 10. What's our schedule? Kirtan? Should we have kirtan now? Or is there one more question?
Yes, I have.
I should have known.
Actually, it's not a question.
Oh, it's a comment.
It's an idea.
Idea.
Yes. I saw the devotees in Hungary make a book. It's not a big book. It's a book about Bhakti Yoga. It describes everything.
Mm.
Why? What we are represent, who is Krishna, our festivals.
Mm.
So I was looking for this copy of English to translate in Croatian, but they didn't have, this devotee didn't bring me. So my idea is, we have books like Perfection of Yoga, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers.
We have many books.
Science of Self-Realization, but yeah. We need, it's my idea, it shouldn't be accepted. My idea is that we make something to represent, like publicity book.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's, you know, who is Krishna? Why we believe in Krishna? Why we don't believe in other avatars, like, you know. Something what to represent us, not like best religion, but to give opportunity to people to understand something about personality of Godhead.
Okay.
So this is my idea. I had I spoke with some devotees in Zagreb. They said, "No, it's not necessary. It's, you know, it's." But why? Because some people don't understand philosophy so much. So we have to first give some base.
Basics.
Then understand it. Yes. Then.
Yeah. Okay.
Then we'll say.
Good. Thank you. Could be. Could be a good idea.
Like you wrote Bhagavatam for the students, you know.
Yeah.
Something like this.
Yeah. Well, on that sort of note, I'll share my idea for Sunday feasts. Sunday feast programs. I may have already mentioned it, but anyway, I'll do it again. I mentioned it to Konteya Prabhu a few weeks ago. He is one of the main promoters of congregational preaching in ISKCON. And he liked it, and he said he's going to include it in his seminar on the subject of the Sunday feast. And that is that we, you're going to laugh, that we have name tags. Name tag. My name is Krishna Kshetra Swami. What's your name? Oh, okay, such and such. How many of you here know the names of all the devotees here right now? Anybody? Who knows 90%? No? Who knows 75%? Okay, two or three. Who knows 50%? Okay. Who knows 20%? Who knows 5%? If you know 5%, would you like to know 10%? I don't mean to put it in percentage numbers, but would you like to know more people here? What could make that possible, to know more people? You could greet each other. One way that it might be easier to greet each other is if everyone had a name tag. I'm serious. They do this in America, in American churches. I've seen it, and it really works. People really get to know each other because everybody knows everybody's names. That was the perfect non-committal expression. Interesting. Usually what I get is the temple leaders say, "Oh yeah, very good idea." And then that's the end of it. Anyway, so that's my little suggestion for the day. All right, thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anantakoti Vaishnavinda ki jai. Shishipancha tattva ki jai. Gaur Premanande.